So I'm reading this morning from Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 27 to 33. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns."
I want to ask the question this morning, who is Jesus? That is the key question. That's the subject that Jesus raises with his disciples in this passage of Mark's Gospels. In fact, he asks two questions and he makes one statement. And both of them are absolutely crucial for us this morning. They're as crucial as life and death. They're as crucial as eternity. Up until this point, the disciples just haven't got it. They've been in the boat with Jesus. They've seen Jesus stand up in the midst of a storm and tell the wind and the waves to be quiet, and instantly the wind and the waves are quiet. And they ask, "Who is this man?" They've seen Jesus feed 5,000 people with 5 little bread loaves, a mouthful each, and 2 fish. And at the end of the miracle, they collect 12 baskets of broken food left over, more than they started with, and they feed 5,000 people. A little bit later on, Jesus feeds 4,000 people. And again, there are baskets, there is food left over. And the disciples just don't get it. They've seen miracles morning, afternoon, and evening. And they've just failed to grasp that here is someone who is absolutely special. I was going to say absolutely unique, but that's the wrong kind of grammar, isn't it? Unique is unique. Jesus is unique. There is nobody like him. He's got absolute power and authority. And the disciples, they've just seen so much, so often, that it's just kind of going over their heads and it has no impact on them anymore. And then Jesus does a very unusual miracle. He goes into a town and there's a blind man there. And the friends of the blind man come to Jesus and they beg him, "Jesus, will you heal this man?" And Jesus takes this man, he leads him out of the town and he spits on his eyes, puts his hands on his eyes and says, "What do you see?" Every other miracle has worked 100%. 100% of the time. And the man says, "I see people looking like trees." That's a miracle that hasn't really worked, isn't it? I mean, this morning, if you mistake people for trees, you're either in the land of Tolkien or something's gone seriously wrong. And then Jesus completes the miracle. What is he doing? He's working on his disciples. He's bringing his disciples to a point where they can recognize who Jesus is. And it's straight after that miracle that Jesus comes to his disciples and he says, "Who do people say I am?" There's been a very recent survey done in the UK. And apparently, it's quite staggering, 40% of people in the UK don't necessarily believe Jesus was a real person. That's 4 out of 10. In the UK. A quarter think Jesus is just a mythical figure. One out of four. That puts Jesus in the same position, really, as, I suppose, Santa Claus. A make-believe figure that somehow makes people feel good. My purpose this morning is not to demonstrate that Jesus was real. Any serious historian who looks at the records of Christian writers and writers who are not sympathetic to Christianity will accept that Jesus exists. No serious scholar disputes that at all. A historian called Josephus, he wrote about Jesus, as did others. But the question I want us to ask this morning is this. Who is Jesus? Actually, I want Jesus to ask that question of you this morning. Who am I? And I want us to listen to what the disciples say. Then I want to ask you how you're going to answer that question this morning. So first of all, first question, Jesus says, who do people say that I am? And the disciples come out with, oh, some say John the Baptist. He was a figure who came before Jesus. John was out in the wilderness. He was a bit of a freak, really. He wore camel hair. I don't quite fancy that if you've sat on a camel. It's a bit rough. It's a bit itchy. He ate locusts. I don't fancy locusts for my lunch today. I don't think I've got locusts for my lunch today. But that's what he ate. And he preached to the people. And he said, you need to turn to God and repent. And the disciples say, oh, say, some people, Jesus, say you're like John the Baptist. You've called people to turn to God and repent. Others say, oh, no, no, no. You're like Elijah. Now, Elijah was one of the great prophets of Israel. And Elijah lived at a time when the people didn't follow God. They'd turned to false gods and they were worshipping idols. And Elijah came along and with God's help, he was able to demonstrate that there is one God. And point people to God. Jesus, some people say you're like John the Baptist. Other people say that you're like Elijah. How would people answer that question today? Well, if 40% of people don't think Jesus is real, what about the other 60%? Who do people think Jesus is? We could almost do a survey this morning, couldn't we? If we were able to ask you, who do people out there, Joe Public, who do they think Jesus is? I wonder what answers you'd get. Inevitably, you'd get the fact that Jesus is a good man. He was good. You'd get the fact that he's a good example of how to live. He's a model of how we should live. And we should follow him. We should look up to him as an inspiration. Someone that we should model our lives on. You might hear that he's a kind and caring person. People might say, oh, he was a great teacher, you know. He was one of the greatest orators and teachers that the world has ever known. Someone else might say, he was a great miracle worker. But, you know, none of these answer the question. They simply describe the attributes of the person, not the identity. Just think for a moment. If you ask the question, who is Al Sims, you might get something similar. You might say, as I was reminded by one of our youngsters this morning, he's a man with a bit of hair left. Still got some. He's married to Jill. He's got three kids and a grandchild. He's a church minister. He lives in Wembley. But none of that's me, the person. They're just describing things about me. The people of the time said that Jesus was a radical preacher like John the Baptist. He was like Elijah or some other great person from Israel's history. And today in our world, people have loads and loads of ideas about who Jesus is. There are many, many views and opinions. But then number two this morning, Jesus brings it right home. He says to his disciples, who do you say, I am? Giving other people's opinions is easy, isn't it? Doesn't come with any responsibility. Of course, you might not get it right. You might get the gist of it. After all, the disciples were able to tell Jesus what the crowds were saying, and you would probably be able to articulate what people were saying about Jesus in the world in which you live. But now, this becomes hugely personal. In fact, I would dare to suggest it becomes uncomfortable for the disciples for a moment. Because Jesus is taking them and he's putting them right on the spot. No opportunity to fudge. No opportunity to wriggle out of it. It's just quite blunt. Disciples, who do you say I am? Time to put your money on the table. Jesus has been working on his disciples. And Peter responds and says, I believe that you're the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ. He's God's anointed one. And there is a dawning realization that is coming upon the disciples that here is someone who is very special, even the Son of God. I want to ask you that question this morning. Who do you say Jesus is? How will you answer that question this morning? Is Jesus simply a good man? Is he a good example of how to live? Sure. Is he a kind, caring person? Absolutely he was. Was he a great teacher? Yep. Did he do miracles? Yep. Is he the Son of God? Is he the Son of God? How would you answer that question this morning? Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? You see, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then there have to be implications. If Jesus is the Son of God, how does that affect me? If Jesus is the Son of God, what does that mean for me today? If Jesus is the Son of God, how do I relate to him? What impact, what bearing does it have on me? And Jesus helps us to understand the answer to these questions because he immediately imparts information to his disciples. The third part this morning. Jesus teaches them the truth about himself. He began to teach them that the Son of Man, that's code word for Jesus, must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, but he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. Jesus says the Son of Man will suffer many things. It's only several months after this that Jesus suffers in a terrible way. He's flogged. He's beaten. He's bruised. He's battered. People spit in his face. They strike him round the head. And they mock him. He'll be rejected by the religious establishment. He's not one of us. He'll be killed. He'll be put on a cross. Given the most terrible of deaths. And then Jesus says, but after 3 days, I'm going to come back again. I'll be raised to new life again. What's Jesus saying? He's saying, I am the Son of God. But I've come here and I live on earth because I've got a job to do. Why did Jesus have to go to the cross? God made a perfect world. God's standard is perfection. And not one of us in this hall this morning has lived life to God's high standard, standard of perfection. We just can't do it. We say things wrong. We think things wrong. We do things wrong. There are things that we should do that we don't do and vice versa. The reality is we have blown God's standards. God is perfect. He's just. He's pure. He's passionate about goodness. And because he's so passionate about everything that's good, he has to punish things that are wrong. And so the things that are wrong in our lives have to be punished. And here's the miracle of Christmas and Easter and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He came into this world to become the God-man, to go to a cross to die, so that through an amazing act, he can pay the price for our failure, for our inability to live to God's standards. He can pay the price for the mess that we've made of our lives, for every single thing that we've done wrong, thought wrong, said wrong. If only we let him, he can do that for us. This morning, Jesus, as the Son of God, says to each one of us, you can have the opportunity to have your sins forgiven and a new start and a new life and a life that's worth living. How do we react to that this morning? Who is Jesus? He's the Son of God who went to a cross to die, to save you and rescue you. He offers to do that for you this morning. How do we react to that? See, Peter's got an immediate problem. He takes Jesus aside and says, Jesus, you're not right. You're wrong. What you say can't be true. And I want you to notice a couple of relevant things for us this morning. First of all, Peter has just acknowledged that Jesus is the Messiah and then tells him he's wrong. You can't do that with God, right? If God says only those people who put their trust in Jesus Christ get to have a relationship with me and live with me in heaven, you cannot turn around and say to God, you're wrong. Who do I think I am? He's God. He makes the rules. He sets the rules, the standards. And Peter questions Jesus. And you know, you could be in danger of doing that this morning. You could say, yes, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. But then you might be guilty of saying, well, okay, but so what? I'm not going to do anything with it. Jesus says we are sinners. We need him as a savior. He says that he's the only way to God. He says that he is the source of all truth and life. He says that we need to seek forgiveness from him. And if we want to get to know God, that is not negotiable. You can't make your own rules up here. It's God's world. He makes the rules, and we have to live by them. If Jesus is the Son of God, and you believe he's the Son of God, then you have to accept his message, or you have to reject it. Second thing I want you to notice here from Peter is the message can be quite unpalatable. No one likes to be told that they're sinful. But that's the reality of what we are. We're born in sin, and sin is part of our nature. For those of you who've got the newborn babies, let me promise you this, you will not have to teach them how to do wrong things. They just have it built within them. It is part of our DNA. It is part of our human nature. And we don't like being told that there is only one way to God. Do you know, our human nature will deliberately say, if God says there's only one way to find me, we'll start looking for a different way. Because we're awkward and we're difficult and we're human beings and we think we've got the answer. Nor do we like the fact that we cannot save ourselves. You cannot get to heaven without Jesus Christ and going to the cross. Can I be absolutely clear about that? You cannot get to heaven unless you put your faith in Jesus Christ at the cross and ask for forgiveness. If you're expecting to get to heaven, that is the only way you can ever get there. And the third thing I notice here, Satan wants to stop you from following Jesus. Jesus sees Satan, the power of darkness working in Peter, opposing his truth. Do you know this morning, as you hear the call of Jesus Christ that comes to you saying, follow me, there'll be somebody else in the back of your mind saying, don't worry about it too much. Leave it to another time. It can't be, just dismiss it. You've got your Sunday lunch coming up soon. Just get on with life. And the evil one himself will want you this morning to walk away and do nothing and take no action. As I finish this morning, forgive me, but it's the very last First Sunday. The response to the question, who is Jesus, will determine the whole of your eternity. If Jesus becomes Lord because you go and kneel at the foot of the cross in faith, and you give your life to him and follow him and seek forgiveness for your sins, then you have the absolute promise of heaven for the whole of eternity. If this morning you don't go to the cross and bow your knee, if you don't confess your sin and ask Jesus to become Lord of your life, then Jesus himself said you will go to that terrible place called hell, which is real, and it terrifies me even the thought of it. If you refuse Jesus, and that is what you do if you don't accept him, because we all start refusing Jesus. That's our default position. There'll be huge consequences. My prayer is that there will be nobody here this morning who doesn't bow the knee to King Jesus and come to him and seek forgiveness for their sins. If you don't do that, one day you will be in hell. And you will in hell wish with every bitter regret that you'd made a different choice. But then it will be too late. There'll be no escape forever. That makes your response to Jesus this morning absolutely vital. It's the most important thing in the whole of life, because it determines our future, heaven or hell. Who do you say Jesus is? Your answer and your response will determine your eternity. You'll never be able to say, I didn't know. Nobody told me. Because this morning my plea is turn to Jesus and follow him. Hand over all of yourself to him. Seek forgiveness for your sin and repent. If this morning you want to do that, then find someone that you know here and just say, will you pray with me? Will you introduce me to Jesus? Will you help me to get my eternal future sorted out? Come and see me. Come and see someone that you know. But please, with all my heart this morning, don't leave here unless you know that you belong to Jesus and are going to live with him in heaven for the whole of eternity. I plead with you. Don't make that terrible, terrible mistake. You have the opportunity for life. Turn to Jesus and be saved and be rescued. Let's just have a moment of quiet. Just want you in your heart to answer that question for yourself. Who do you say Jesus is? We need to ask yourself whether you truly belong to Jesus this morning. And if you're not sure, then perhaps best make the assumption you're not to be safe. Father God, I pray for everyone this morning. Thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to bring life and light and hope. Lord, through your Spirit this morning, open everyone's eyes to see the reality of who you are, what you've done, and what you offer. Amen.